I'm Gab, he's Jules. Cloudy skies over West London, Jules. This is it. Transfer deadline day coming up. Some housekeeping.
Yeah.
We're taping the show Thursday morning. The window closes in a few hours. Deals are evolving. We're only going to try to talk about stuff that's done or just about done. We don't want to confuse anybody. But we have a ton of football to talk about first.
Of course.
Because we've had so much going on. We've had midweek rounds in the Premier League. Haaland's hat trick. Liverpool's last minute winner in Serie A as well. Roma, Jose Mourinho, top of the table. How about that? Who's special now, huh?
Yeah.
But let's start with Chelsea, because I don't think there's a team, there's a club that's gone through so much off the pitch in the last 3-4 months. So much going on this summer with spending. Wesley Fofana now on board. And they lose. They lose to Southampton. And Thomas Tuchel is grumpy, said that we're soft, blah, blah, blah. All right. I think we said this before, but I just want to reinforce this. He has many mitigating circumstances which make his job harder. But he's not helping right now. It's like he's making everybody more nervous, more wound up, less calm. Are you surprised?
I am not surprised in a way, because I think we saw this coming through preseason where there were some really poor performances. But you can put down the fact that it's preseason, they work hard on the fitness, etc., etc. But already they were, the fact that the squad was evolving so much, especially towards arrival players, but also leaving players, departures, that you knew they were not going to be ready for the first day of the season. That's why I was worried. I said I was worried about them. I got a bit of abuse, but I also said I didn't think they would finish top four because of the sort of instability in a way. Then I was reassured against Spurs. Again, they should have won and won easily, but they drew. And since then, they went backwards. All the good things that we saw against Spurs, and yeah, maybe the injuries, players like Conte, players like Rich James, who missed obviously the game with Southampton. He's not injured, he was ill, but still, that's not helping. And he's short on players, he said. The squad is short, too short. But I agree with you. I don't think he's helping himself by his comments, by his own nervosity. And he's so nervous that I think he gets to the players as well and to the dressing room and to the club. But right now, I'm back from being worried now, like I was before the start of the season.
You talked about how nervous he is, how he just looks. He looks like a bundle of nerves.
On the edge.
Even when he's calm and relaxed, he still looks nervy. And part of it, I think, has to do with his body language, with the way he looks. I'm curious about this game, though, because against Southampton, the lineup he chose with the back four, with sticking with this Sterling, Havertz up front, even though Broja came on, he was fit.
Yeah.
I'm playing Hakim Ziyech, which struck me as odd. I mean, I think Ziyech is a great player, and I think there is a role. If the manager sees him as part of his plans, there's a role for him, just like as there's a role for Pulisic. But I don't understand this chopping, changing, shuffling. No. Some of it is forced, some of it is not.
Yeah, completely. I mean, I don't know why you don't play with your back three like so far this season, with Loftus-Cheek as a kind of a right wing back, if you want. And then you can put Kovacic, who was on the bench, who came on at halftime, that could easily maybe have started the game in midfield with Jorginho. I think he's still looking for
Chile as well. Chile came on. I mean, Ben Chilwell, you spent a lot of money on him. Is he not fully fit? Is he not match fit?
I don't know. I think there were far many more options or better options than what he did with that back four and going with kind of a 4-3-3 formation, but sometimes quite hybrid with almost a 4-4-2 that didn't really make sense. However, they were still in control of the game. Once they took the lead, they looked the better side. And then so easily they were undone. So easily they lost the control of that game that you're thinking, hang on, what are all those experienced players on the pitch doing? What is Tuchel doing to stop losing that control?
A word on the transfers, because they've been linked with so many players. Obviously, Fofana is on board. We're going to talk about it more on the Gavin Jules podcast, what he can bring and sort of the way he got out of Leicester. But what the concern for me is that here we are in the last 24, 48 hours, they're linked with Aubameyang, they're linked with whatever it is, they're linked with another striker.
Yeah.
Edson Alvarez has kind of popped up out of nowhere as well. Why hasn't there been more direction? Because Todd Boehly has shown that he's unafraid to spend money, but it just seems that this stuff is all taken. Is it just the lack of a specialist. I've said this a million times.
Yeah, I think
the lack of Marina, the lack of a specialist sporting director, even though Peter Cech might not be Monchi, but somebody whose job it is to actually do these things.
Yeah, I think there was a lack of organization. And I think Tobelli's tried his best and his hardest, but you can't do everything either. And I think he's showing you how kind of a hectic it all was. Yeah, I think Fofana is a really good signing for them, even if they overpaid. I think Cucurella as well, even if they overpaid. But overall, you had that feeling all summer that nothing was under control.
Thomas Tuchel suggested that his team were a little bit soft, a little bit lackadaisical. First of all, it's not something that we often hear from coaches. I know sometimes he said, you know, we weren't up to it. You know, they normally turn around and they say like we lack intensity perhaps or whatever. But to use these terms, I think it's kind of a big deal. It's not something we're used from him. Is he that wound up? And is he right?
I think,
or is this all just another way to give people ammunition to go and criticize poor Georgie because in the midfield he didn't? Everybody was watching.
No, but I don't know.
You can't lose that tackle. I mean, yeah, you can. I mean,
I don't know if maybe soft is the wrong word. I think there were cheap goals to concede. Really, I think there's a lot of mistakes made from Lavia's goal to the Armstrong goal as well. All around the pitch, I think there's a lack of effort. Definitely, there's a lack of tracking back for some players. There's a lack of awareness from others. And then maybe they will be soft. But again, I think about the game and I think about the goals. I don't know where you're soft. Soft is like, you know, you don't win three challenges in a row and then it's too easy. But I don't even think that's the case. So I don't know. I don't think soft is the right word, but I think you can be frustrated defensively. They were not good against Leeds away. They were not good again against...
But it's also down to the midfield because, you know, on some of those goals... I know Koulibaly hasn't necessarily been great, but I don't hold him as responsible as, for example, you know, Loftus-Cheek not tracking back. And this is what I don't understand. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, your place in the Chelsea 11 is not assured, right?
No.
In fact, I look at this team, and other than Sterling and Mount, because he's Mason Mount, and Thiago Silva when fit and when he's not taking his breaks... There aren't that many other players whose place in this team is assured.
Koulibaly.
So and Koulibaly, yeah. So I would have thought, man, you all have something to prove. And Mason Mount, by the way he's been playing, you know, he needs to kick it up a notch. Otherwise, he could move into that kind of, you know, not automatic choice category. I don't understand. Isn't the whole point of having a bigger squad, having more options, about generating that competition?
Yeah. But then again, we go back to what Tuchel said before the game, where he basically said there's no competition in this squad because too many players are out, and clearly the other players, which I wouldn't have liked if I was one of the other players, like a Pulisic, for example, don't give me anything for the competition. So this is the team I have to play, kind of, which again, even before the match, I thought his communication was completely wrong, like after the game. But yeah, I think it's down to the manager. I do think that Jorginho cannot play in midfield like this on his own with Mount and Loftus-Cheek on each side of him because I don't think he works. I don't think they work hard enough defensively. I think they can run a lot and be very active, but defensively they're not switched on enough. And that's why I think Kovacic, Kante, they need so badly another defensive midfielder, because otherwise too often they will be left exposed like we saw against Southampton, who are not very good. This is the thing, Southampton are not very good at all.
Do they definitely need another defensive midfielder? Or
100%.
If you move to a back three, does the situation kind of resolve itself? Because I'm thinking if you're going to spend serious money on a defensive midfielder, then you go back to the point that, you know, you have Jorginho, you have Kovacic, Kante will be back at some point. You have Loftus-Cheek, Conor Gallagher, assuming he doesn't leave in the next hours. You know what I mean? Like, you've got a lot of bodies there for not many places on the pitch.
No, I know.
And then this gets me back to the squad construction. You know, you like I agree with you. I don't understand the point of playing a back four in a game like this. Presumably
sense.
With Wesley on board now, your idea is to play a back three most games, right? Yeah. You would have thought?
Yeah, and put back Reece James in his best position, which is the right wing back one.
And if you can't have Reece James for that game, like you said, play Loftus-Cheek there.
Yeah.
That struck me as odd. To me, when you start calling out your players like this, when you start complaining about the size of the squad, when, you know, everybody can count, right? So you're basically saying is all these young players that Chelsea have, who, you know, Billy Gilmore will, by the time you listen to this, may have already gone or will probably have gone. You're kind of sending a message that, you know, we don't have, I don't have faith in these. I need to go and buy more players.
Yeah.
That's not a good situation to be in, I think, in general, when you've built your reputation as a manager who's, you know, he says he's got a good reputation working with younger players.
Mm.
And for have a Chelsea manager after everything that they spent in the last couple windows and this one,
yeah,
going and complaining about his incomplete squad, completely, not a good look.
Not a good look. Koulibaly, Cucurella, Sterling, and Fofana, I'm sorry, but even if you put aside how much they've cost you because you overpaid for some of them, okay, I get it. But those four players are, well, maybe Cucurella you put aside, but Koulibaly, Sterling, and Fofana, I mean, come on. This is outstanding recruitment, really. Yeah, it was completely hectic. Yeah, maybe you needed also in other positions. That's right. But you can't complain about Cucurella, Koulibaly, Sterling, and Fofana, I think. And yet he's still complaining. Where he's very lucky, by the way, because we, again, this is a pattern, and we said it a bit at the end of last season when they were not playing well, you know, when they went off the ball, he had problems in his private life, etc. But we said the pattern has been seen before, both at Dortmund and in Paris. And he has to be very careful. I think what is helping him massively is that his boss, as in the owner of the football club, is also the sporting director. Otherwise, I can guarantee you, if Gab Marcotti was the sporting director at Chelsea now and not Todd Boehly, he would have a go at you. Like he had a go at Leonardo before, like he had a go at other people before saying, I'm not happy, what are they doing? I wanted this player or that player. Now he can't say anything because Todd Boehly is doing that job. So he would mean like basically saying to the owner, you're rubbish. So he can't do that. But I think he has to be very careful, and they're starting talking to him about an extension. And I think we both love him since his Mainz days, and I think he's amazing. I'm just saying, again, he has to be very careful in what he says publicly, and also the results and the way they play on the pitch.
As you know, I'm one of the original Tuchelistas.
Of course you are.
But he needs to be managed, I think. I don't know, maybe he'll need an international break or something. Just take a step back, look at what's going on. I'd love to also get answers to questions like, okay, you get rid of Lukaku, you know, Broja, you're not super wild on, you may be getting another striker, but this Raheem Sterling through the middle, is this the time to try this experiment? I know he's played there before years ago, on and off, but it's a very different animal doing it at Manchester City. He got on the end of chances, no argument there. He might have even had a hat trick in the first 25 minutes. But equally, it is kind of destabilizing, isn't it? I mean, are you asking Raheem Sterling to do what Timo Werner should have done, and that's your solution to helping Kai Havertz develop as a center forward? Is this the thinking? And if so, why?
We criticized him before, didn't we, to put that front two of Havertz and Sterling because we didn't think it was working. I thought it was interesting to see that Havertz moved a little bit more on the left-hand side, and I think there was more freedom for Sterling as a lone center forward, if you want, because I think he can then run into the channels. He's got more freedom. There's not always someone next to him that he needs to be careful. Okay, if he drops, I go. If I drop, he has to go. That kind of stuff. If you play Sterling on his own up front, play him on his own. Don't play Havertz with him. But then I don't think Havertz's position is on the left-hand side either, even if he can come inside. So again, we go back to the drawing board. This is not working. We saw that at Southampton. It worked in patches, but it doesn't work on a full 90 minutes. No. And this is not good enough. Anyway, so push Sterling if you want, but then you have to put the people around him that fits, that fits the system.
The other element to this is I'm assuming he's going to, if you are going to think in terms of a front three, you're kind of back to square one, because unless you want to put Sterling wide two and have your new center forward or Broja or whatever through the middle, that means playing 3-4-3.
Exactly.
And then what did you do with Mason Mount? Do you put Mason Mount in the two? And if you put Mason Mount in the two, you kind of have to put him with Kovacic. If you put Mount and Jorginho, you're going to get overrun.
Yeah.
It's all these things. It's like bad Tetris. These pieces don't seem to fit together. And I have faith in Tuchel that he's got some brilliant idea that we haven't seen yet. But so far, I mean, again, other than the Spurs game, we have not seen Chelsea play well this season.
They've been so poor.
And of course, they have a big London derby at the weekend against West Ham, who, you know, certainly put in a shift, yeah, to say the least, against points. Spurs.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're not a good, they're not a bad team. So
no, definitely not.
That's going to be huge on Saturday. I want to touch upon Wesley Fofana because obviously it was a long, protracted transfer with Leicester. Yeah. And I think, you know, in the end, Leicester played it correctly. They got as much as they could for him. This is a guy who he absolutely loved when he came to England.
Yeah.
And he suffered that really bad injury. He put out a statement saying, look, I didn't talk at all during this whole transfer saga. And I was basically, you know, rubbished by Brendan Rodgers and by the club. Is this just something natural that has to happen for transfer? We saw it with Lewandowski. Mm. Is this kind of like Lewandowski writ small?
Yeah, I mean, he did what he did before, I think, when he moved from Saint-Etienne to Leicester, which was also a difficult one that he pushed for. He was not happy. For example, removing from his Twitter bio or Instagram bio, whatever, that he played for Saint-Etienne or that he played for Leicester, to make his point, if you want. I think credit for him for not kicking off in the media and saying, like, I want to move because of this, this and that.
But he did put those little subtle, yeah, passive-aggressive,
exactly,
things.
Yeah. And we knew exactly what was happening behind the scenes. The fact that, but I've got nothing against the player pushing for a move. He wanted to join Chelsea and only Chelsea. He wanted to work with Tuchel. He grew up watching Thiago Silva on French television because he was 12 when Thiago, 11 going on 12 when Thiago signed for PSG. So now you can train with the guy and play with the guy who's, you know, one of the sort of, not an idol, but someone that you look up to when you were growing up as a centre back going through the ranks at Saint-Etienne. So I can understand why he wanted that move, and financially it makes a lot of sense for him too. It's Champions League. If he wants to make the World Cup, he's got more chances at Chelsea than at Leicester. So I can understand that. So I respect that in a way. I don't know if the statement is a bit too much, maybe, after. Just don't say anything. You got the move you wanted. He was very grateful to Leicester and to Brendan Rodgers, and they've helped him massively. And look at where he is now compared to the kid he was when he arrived. But I don't think really that the statement was necessary.
I'm trying to imagine. I mean, do we agree that, and Tuchel's difficult to predict, but the thinking is back three, right?
No, it has to now. I mean, he can play in the back two, but that means, I guess, when you rotate and Thiago Silva cannot play.
Back two means Fofana, Koulibaly, yeah, and Thiago. Because Thiago Silva,
but Thiago cannot play every 3 days, no, anyway.
And he's played a lot. So
he's played already, yeah, far more.
And of course, you got West Ham this weekend and Champions League next week.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised if Thiago Silva takes a breather this weekend.
Yeah,
because
me too.
You don't want to. But,
and Fofana is ready to play.
Okay, so on those days when Thiago Silva takes a breather, is the back three Fofana, Koulibaly, and Marco Correa?
Yeah, or Chalobah, or Azpilicueta, if you want. But there's a
point. I don't want. No. Let me be very clear. Nothing against Azpilicueta.
But you're right. You don't want him there. Neither do I.
I want him to play as little as he needs to. He's valuable to the club. He's important. But at this stage of his career, and it's the same thing, frankly, for me with Cucurella. You know, not a bad player, a good player. He can be useful, kind of a tweener. Brighton had a very specific system that he excelled in.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, he can run down, you know, technically he's not bad, so he can run down the book. But surely these aren't, if Azpilicueta and Cucurella are starting the majority of games, something's gone wrong at Chelsea.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
And do we think Chile's back and on the left-hand side? And
I think so, but maybe he prefer Cucurella right now. And I've got nothing. If he sees at training that Cucurella is better than Chilwell, then he starts Cucurella. I've got no problem. I would rather see Cucurella as a third centre-back in a back three than Azpilicueta every single day of the week. I agree with you. But yeah, it's a guess. I think it's impossible to predict what Thomas Tuchel is going to do at the weekend, for example, and what formation he's going to go for, and who's going to start, because of the injuries, of course, but also because I think he doesn't even know himself. Because I think this is all under construction, where it should not really be. Because the four players that you signed, who, as we've been saying, are outstanding signings, should fit in right into what you wanted to do and what you've been doing. And yet, it's changing and twisting and tweaking all the times, which doesn't make any sense.
We mentioned Aubameyang again. As we're discussing this, we don't know. There's been a lot of talk. By the time you listen to this, we'll know if he's a Chelsea player or not. But something pretty nasty happened to him on Monday night.
Yeah, yeah. He was attacked in his own house, burgled. They handcuffed him and his wife. They punched him in the face. They broke his jaw. It must have been terrifying for the whole Aubameyang family. The children were in the house. They stole everything they could have stolen. I guess in this kind of incident, you look like, okay, they only broke his jaw. Yeah, they stole money, but this is all materials. But it could have been far worse, I guess. You don't know what those guys have been capable of doing. But right now, if you're Aubameyang, you want to get out of Barcelona as quick as possible and come back to London. I'm amazed that there's been no agreement found between Chelsea and Barcelona so far for this transfer. I don't know whose fault it is. It might be anyone's. It's just they haven't found an agreement. But there's Marcos Alonso also in the mix. Don't tell me you cannot find an agreement for the sake of 5 or maybe even 10 million pounds to make that deal happen if you really, really wanted him if you're Chelsea and if you really need the money if you're Barcelona.
Well, I think the difficult thing from Barcelona's perspective, and we've talked about this, is that, you know, as we know, to register Jules Koundé, you have several directors having to put personal guarantees. This weakens your negotiating position, right? Because the other side knows even more so that you need to pay. Otherwise, people are going to come, you know, and...
get your wife's jewelry.
and then take the Porto's car. So I think that could be part of the explanation. There's a lot of moving parts. Yeah. It's very difficult to do, and we'll see in the next few hours how things pan out.
Do you think that we've seen the last of Christian Pulisic? Because him leaving the pitch at Southampton without going and clapping the traveling Chelsea fans looked bad. I don't know what the background is really. I just saw it as I was watching the game. I can understand his frustration, because if you're Christian Pulisic, you're not happy about what Tuchel said the day before the game that we mentioned earlier. There's no competition. No one in that team is giving me a headache to do my team. What's going on there? We know he's frustrated. We saw his dad being frustrated. But then get a move if you're not happy.
I don't think it's that simple to get a move, because he's on big wages.
Right, there was no offers.
Like with most things, this is always the issue when you're at a top club. Personally, I think Pulisic could come in handy at a number of other top clubs, and I think there would have been scope to go into a deal. We don't know, you know, the intricacies of it. Obviously, you know, because there's agents involved, there's other interests, there's buybacks. I think the impression I get, and from what I've been told, is Pulisic was given the impression, during preseason, like, okay, Lukaku, you know, Sterling's in, but, you know, Lukaku's gone. Ziyech could be on his way out. Timo Werner's gone. You know, you have a shot. If you're fit, and obviously fitness has been a thing for him.
Yeah.
So he's fit now, and he's trained hard. He's worked hard. You know, he's had some appearances off the bench. But I think I wouldn't blame him for feeling a little bit like, well, if I'm not part of the plans here, if you're going to come out and say everybody's rubbish, you know, all my guys on the bench, then why am I here? You know, let me know. And again, it may be something where you take a step back and maybe take a pay cut or whatever. I don't think it's going to happen in the next couple hours as we're recording this on deadline day. So that means he may have to stick around. Maybe you can also turn it into a positive from a Greg Berhalter perspective. Obviously, you want guys playing. He'll still get to play.
Yeah.
He'll still get to play. He's just not an NBA starter. You'll still, because Chelsea, between the Champions League, you still get minutes on the pitch. But he might be that little bit fresher come the World Cup. And a big World Cup maybe in January could change the landscape here. Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/gabjules, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/gabjules now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/gabjules.
All right, enough Chelsea. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Arsenal stays top of the league with a 2-1 win over Aston Villa. Duels, they're perfect thus far. 5-for-5. Are we sleeping on them as potential Premier League champions?
I think that's a bit early. I mean, the people who are hating on them saying, well, yeah, they haven't played anyone yet. Okay, I get the point, but you can also only beat what's in front of you anyway.
You're not hating on them, you're stating the fact.
Yeah, but still, we'll see.
I don't think they play anybody good until the October 1st and the North London derby.
Yeah, they've got United on Sunday.
United fans.
They also played, Crystal Palace away, for example.
Ooh.
They got a draw at Liverpool. They were 2-0 up at City, so they're not Palace are not bad. I understand it. But still, what we've seen has been really good from Arsenal.
Well, I think better performance, Jules. This was a really good.
The first half was outstanding.
The game before. We talked about, a year ago, they might have lost this game. It was about resiliency. And you need that. But this, first 45 minutes, they tore them to shreds.
Yeah, and the only problem
that was really
not,
good.
Yeah, the only problem was not to score. But already more, they can consistently play that well instead of just 15, 20 minutes like earlier in the season, like at Crystal Palace, for example. Now they need to be more clinical and be 3-0 up after 20 minutes when they're really dominant, like a City or like a Liverpool of previous seasons. So this is the next step, but so far, so good. And Steven Gerrard made a number of big decisions and they backfired, Gab. Going back to last season, he's gained 12 of a possible 48 points now for Villa. He says he's under pressure. Is he really, Gab?
I think he certainly is from the fans. I think he certainly is in terms of the pressure he puts on himself. Yeah. My understanding is the club are pretty committed to him. They want to give him a chance to work his way out of the situation they're in. Obviously, they spent money in the summer. You know, they want to give... They're making all the right noises and saying, no, it's not in or out. I do wonder, though, with people like Gerrard, you know, he's been so successful as a player. He's made his money. He has a lot of pride. I think a lot of it comes down to the pressure that he puts on himself.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting he's thinking of walking out, but I always think with that kind of profile of manager, he might say, are these my limits? Do I need this? You know, because it's always different when, you know, on the pitch, you can control what happens as a player.
Mm.
As a coach, I don't know, Arsene Wenger telling me, you know, all you can do is give people instructions and then you put your faith in the people going on the pitch.
That's true.
Fabio Carvalho pops up in the... Oh, sorry, we should mention, because I know you like your techers. Douglas Luiz, Olympic goal, 2 in a row. Is this just a weird kind of footnote of trivia of history?
Yeah.
Especially the way that goal went.
Yeah, exactly.
Fabio Carvalho pops up in the 8th minute of injury time to give Liverpool a dramatic win over Newcastle. Jules, how big was this, considering that without it, they would have been 9 points back?
Yeah, massive. Massive because they didn't play well and Newcastle looked really good at times. Of course, they did a lot of defending, especially in the second half. But you don't really remember Pope with one outstanding save or, you know, like saving everything pretty much. They got lucky, but maybe they see the kind of like turning point that they needed to get a bit lucky and then get a win so difficult like that right at the end of at the time when it was given 5 minutes minimum, and that was, as you said, on the 8th minute. Newcastle were not happy, but
I was watching this on BT Sport here in England, and the commentator actually says, well, you know, Newcastle are going to, you know, they're going to avoid defeat again, or they're going to stay undefeated. And he said this at like, it was like 95 minutes and 30 seconds. And I said, all right, you're probably good, but commentators jinx, and boom,
exactly.
There it happened. Whoever it is, I feel bad for you. We've all been there.
Exactly. Gab, Jurgen Klopp has said that they could use another midfielder. I bet you feel vindicated because since Gini Wijnaldum left, this is what you've been saying.
Yeah, and indications are that Arthur, not the cartoon character, but the Juventus midfielder formerly at Barcelona, is on his way. It's a loan deal, not 100% confirmed, but we're very confident that this is happening. I think he's a bit of a body. Arthur's been for sale. He's been available all summer long. Juve been trying to move him on. I think you look at this, he's had a really rough time at Juve. He's a technically gifted player. Mm-hmm. He can maybe do some of the things Thiago does when Thiago's not around. You can use another passer, can shield the ball. I don't think he's necessarily going to fit in terms of the intensity. I don't think he's a big part of the plans. But you need another body right now.
Yeah, completely.
Paris Saint-Germain get back to winning ways with a 3-0 triumph away to Toulouse. Jules, Neymar has scored in every game this season with a bit of help from VAR this time, but still.
Yeah, he was onside despite the goal being ruled out at the start of it. If you want, what a move between Verratti, Neymar, Mbappe and Messi. Great triangle. And it was great. Toulouse played well. They've got a young team. They will learn from it a lot. But they caused a little bit of problem on the counter-attack and Donnarumma had to make a couple of good saves. But then PSG were too strong. It's good. They've played some really good stuff with a different team, different formation as well. So well done to them. Roma beat Monza 3-0 and at top of the league in Serie A as Paulo Dybala steals the show. Gab, we need to show some love to Mourinho.
We do, because he's top of the table. Really? And as I've told you before, they've only conceded one goal all season, which is pretty... which is pretty remarkable when you think that the doubts were at the back and like, is it going to be sustainable? Dybala showed that he's back to full fitness. The goal that really he scored, when he runs the length of the pitch. He's got like a defender hanging off him. He shows strength. The second goal, he scores the kind of goal that you don't expect Dybala to score, because he kind of throws himself at a loose ball and, takes a whack along the way. Yeah, you can do this for 38 games. You're in with a shot. Yeah. But Mourinho's been clever so far. He's been smart so far. And I do think they can actually produce more attacking in terms of attacking potential. Mm. If they can do that, they're in with a shot.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We're running out of superlatives for Erling Braut Haaland. Oh. It's a first half hat trick for him in Manchester City's 6-0 demolition of Nottingham Forest. 9 goals in 5 games, consecutive hat tricks. Fair to say he's living up to the billing, right, Jules?
Incredible. Gabby played 69 minutes. He could have had more goals, should have maybe had more goals. I mean, the finishing is impressive. But he even gets a bit of luck now that when the ball bounces off someone or when Foden is through on Haaland's ball, the tackles from Nico Williams ends up in his path to just tap it in. So he's got everything going his way. He's so strong. He's so confident now. Everything has been clicking for him within the team. The way they put the cross in is for him. They know exactly where he's going to be. It's amazing to see. Well done. We never doubted it. I cannot believe that some people did in this country. But hey.
And Jaga Fjortoff knows who they are, as he tweeted last night. By the way, he's got 2 hat tricks. You know what the record for hat tricks in the top flight is in a season?
So I know that he's already has as many as Heung-min Son and people like that, Sadio Mane and stuff like that.
He's got 2.
He's got 2.
You know what the record is in a season?
3?
9.
9.
9 set by the legendary George Campbell in 1925-26 for Middlesbrough. He's getting a statue soon.
That's
football
true.
Began,
Exactly, before the Premier League. Milan are held to a scoreless draw by Sassuolo, and Mike Maignan has to save a penalty in front of Berardi to avoid defeat. Gab, reason for concern ahead of the derby this weekend?
I think Sassuolo played really well.
Yeah, they did.
I think a little bit. They couldn't overwhelm them the way Milan have done in recent games. It's definitely 2 points dropped. I think their heads were thinking at the derby, thinking ahead to the Champions
League. And some rotation as well from Pioli. He changed a few things.
But which is understandable. I mean, we've been praising them for being so deep and having so many options. And if you're going to rotate, you can't have it both ways.
True.
Sticking with Milan, Sergiño Dest is in town with a view towards a loan deal with an option to buy worth up to 20 million. Now, as we record this, the deal's not done, but it looks just about done. Does this make sense to you?
I like it. I like it because he's still young. I think he will learn a lot and improve a lot in Serie A, especially defensively, which is the aspect of his game that he needs to work on. You've got Florenzi as your right back. He can easily be better or
Florenzi,
not a different option.
Florenzi, Calabria.
Yeah, Calabria, but come on.
Kalulu.
Kalulu is
if he doesn't play
back
in the middle.
I know, but I think as a loan, you can take it. Then you can decide if you want to buy him or not, if he does well or not. But I think he can bring you something that maybe the others don't, going forward with the ball.
Good for Barcelona to get his wages off the books.
Definitely, for sure. Red Bull Capital, who already have stakes in Liverpool and Toulouse via the Fenway Sports Group, plus teams in baseball, have completed a takeover of Milan. It's been revealed that the New York Yankees will also get a minority stake, and so will LeBron James and Drake, I think, are also involved somehow. What does this mean, Gab, for Milan?
Well, it was already, there's talk about like, oh, the Yankees, they own a regional, big regional network in the Northeast called the Yes Network. Oh, look, they'll show Milan games. Well, no, they won't because they already have a deal. Yeah. They can show like, you know, archival games and so on. I get a little bit skeptical about this because, you know, about these synergies across sports where all of a sudden, because remember the Yankees had a, I think they still do have a deal with Manchester City over Yankee Stadium and New York City FC. Many years ago, they signed this big deal with Manchester United. I think this is like 20 years ago. Right. And then that kind of petered out and turned into anything. Let's see. Yeah. More important is the fact that this deal is completed, that Redbird are in charge. West Ham and Spurs share the spoils at the London Stadium as the Packet makes his debut.
Yeah.
But Jules, Antonio Conte is very grumpy about the penalty that was awarded and then overturned by VAR. Is he right to be?
Very grumpy. I think he's got a point, to be fair, although we clearly saw with the Lucas Digne penalty last weekend as well that those are not going to be given when you're so close, when the ball ricochets off a part of your body onto your arm. But I can see why he's aggrieved, because the referee gave it in the first place. Last season, it would have been given and maintained. This season, they clearly changed the direction that they're going.
But I want to be very clear on this. I get uncomfortable when, like, the PGMOL, in England, they decide to go and do things on their own, separate from...
So what they do.
The ricochet to handball thing, that used to be a thing. There used to be directive.
Yeah.
Two referees, if there's a ricochet and it hits the hand, then don't give it. Now it's changed to the fact that actually use your discretion. So there is a level of discretion. I can only assume here that the referee didn't see him hit the head, and then when he saw it, you know, his discretion said, well, this then becomes...
That's why it was good for him to go and watch it.
So it's good for him to see it, but let's just be clear on this. It doesn't mean that every time there's a ricochet, you can't give a penalty, which is what I heard some people saying last night.
That's true. Inter rolled to a 3-1 win over Cremonese and stays second in Serie A. No Romelu Lukaku, but Gab Lautaro off the bench, and Barella, what a goal he scored. That looking sharp.
But a tremendous look. This was more of a counterattacking thing.
Yeah,
the first
was.
Goal. It's a way of playing. I think Simone Inzaghi's got other options, but it was important to get the win, to get the momentum back going. And we'll see. Maybe the little quick guys. I don't know if they're going to go with Dzeko or Correa. I assume it's going to be Dzeko in the derby. But already, I think important that Lautaro is pretty much in mid-season form, and Barella too.
Yeah.
Bayern stomp all over Viktoria Köln in the German Cup. But how about Matthijs Tel, who at 17 becomes the club's youngest ever goal scorer? Jules is French. He's French. Yeah. He made his debut for Rennes last season. I bet you're dying to tell me all about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, we said it when he signed. It was they paid a lot of money because he was so talented and so promising, making his debut, as you said, in Ligue 1 16. We would have to see. He did some really good things coming on in the Bundesliga. This was against a third division team. It was easy, but the goal he scored was a really good goal. He took it really well, coming off the left-hand side, inside, and it's a lovely finish. I mean, we like him a lot in France. He's been a star for the France youth teams, for example. So good luck to him. But I think this is the start that he wanted at the club. That's for sure. Juventus beat Spezia 2-0, and Dusan Vlahovic bags another early free kick goal. Gab, he's channeling his inner Sinisa Mihailovic. I think I prefer this one than the one at the weekend even.
It was good. And look, people look at this and say, oh, how does a big man center forward type like that go and score goals like these? Well, it's funny, Max Allegri, in the inimitable Max Allegri way, he was out there and says like, oh, but you know, it's just practice. I mean, you see this in the NBA all the time. You have these big goofy centers who can't shoot, but then they sit there and they practice long enough and then they find out they can shoot. I don't think it's just practice. I think there's an element of talent involved.
Definitely.
Not the best performance from Juve in this game, but again, Miretti keeps getting better and better.
Yeah.
Olympique Marseille beat Clermont Foot 1-0 in their joint top of Ligue 1. Jules, are they learning to love the Tudor?
They are indeed, and I think he was very happy with that performance. It was not perfect again, maybe not even as good as the one at Nice last weekend, but he said if we can play all the time with this kind of intensity that we saw at times in that game, which was enough for Clermont, it'd be perfect. Napoli are held to a 1-1 draw at home by Lecce. Gab, they're not slowing down, are they?
Well, the results are slowing down, obviously.
That late goal from Colombo,
but it was a tremendous goal
from
Colombo. And look, I'm less concerned when teams create chances. Napoli had, you know, Lecce played on the counter, which is fair enough. Napoli had a ton of chances.
So many
coming
chances.
Close several times. I think they had 17 shots on goal, something like that. this is not reason to panic, but in the back of their minds, and I think psychology does come into this a little bit, they think back to all those points that they dropped at home last season, which really killed their title charge. So it's fine for a one-off, but come on, Napoli, this must not become a habit. Scott Parker was sacked as manager of Bournemouth after the Cherries' 9-0 defeat to Liverpool. Jules, it wasn't the loss that cost him his job, was it? It was the cardigan, you're going to say.
Well,
that stupid
hardball with the three white stripes on the sleeves. That makes no sense whatsoever.
I don't want to make fun of the way people dress for obvious reasons. However, when I found out, and it's been reported, how much that cardigan cost, then all I can think to myself is you are a fashion victim. You're not making a statement by dressing different.
Maybe he liked it.
Remember when Julian Nagelsmann wore the ugly coat and stuff?
Oh, horrible.
Well, whatever. He's expressing himself. You don't like it. I'm assuming Julian Nagelsmann didn't pay thousands and thousands for his hideous coat. Whereas now we know that apparently Scott Parker has.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's my digression.
Yeah, that's your digression. No, he was sacked as well because of the things that he said, the comments that he made about the lack of reinforcement, transfer strategy, etc. He'd been warned before, he kept doing it. I think there's a point where you can't expect the club not to react when you're slagging off the owners like that and the lack of backing that you should get when you know that there's not much money. It's not like Nottingham Forest, they couldn't have spent that kind of money. And they still signed some players. It's not like if they did nothing, like Leicester, for example.
Yeah, no, they signed Senesi. They brought players in. It's funny because, you know, let's be fair. Antonio Conte and Jose Mourinho have done stuff like this in the past, right?
Yeah, but they are.
But they are Antonio Conte and Jose Mourinho.
Exactly.
And I certainly have slagged them off when I thought they were being unreasonable. This doesn't fit Scott Parker's personality at all. And what do you think? You think that by saying that on Monday, all of a sudden they're going to go and start, you know, oh no, Scott Parker's unhappy. He's called us out in public. You think Bournemouth fans are going to gather outside Demon's house and demand signings like used to happen in Serie B in the 1980s in Italy? No.
No, no, no. But let's see who comes in. Amad Diallo has gone on loan to Sunderland from Manchester United. Gav, I guess there was no room from him at Old Trafford.
I guess not. You know, I still think there's a player in there. He's still very, very,
very
young.
Very raw as well.
It's probably the right thing to send him on loan. I do wonder a little bit, because if we just sort of inventory, and I'm doing this on the fly, so correct me if I'm wrong, United sort of forwards, wingery types. We've got Jadon Sancho. We've got Alanga. We've got Antony. We've got Rashford.
Yeah.
We have Martial. And we have that man, Cristiano Ronaldo, for now.
Yeah.
So that's six.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Is there no room, given their commitments, for Amad Diallo, some conference, some, you know, considering that... I just wonder if the whole thing about Ten Hag is helping young players grow, I'm just wondering, maybe training with these guys might actually help them more than...
Than playing in the championship? I don't know. It's worked for other players like James Garner in the championship as well, so...
U.S. men's national team international striker Ricardo Pepi has joined Groningen on loan from Augsburg. Jules, there was so much hype after his record move from Dallas. What was it, like 20 million, something like
January.
That? But he hasn't actually scored in 16 appearances for the club. That's got a great on you. So they weren't all starts. He's started one game this season.
No. But it's been
tough. That's really got a grade on you, right?
Yeah, it's been tough. And we said it was a risky move at the time because Augsburg were fighting against relegation, because the shock into moving from one country to another, the different football, the different culture, all of that was a bit risky. And I think they all recognized the need for him to go somewhere else, to keep growing and get his confidence back, maybe the mojo back. I mean, I know you look at Groningen and you think like, really? I think the Eredivisie could be good for him to sort of recover that kind of form and get confident again. And then he can always go back to the Bundesliga or even maybe go back to MLS. But right now, we have to be honest here, the move to Europe has been a big failure.
Yeah, and I think
it's a shame.
Some people hinted at it as well, that maybe somebody who could have been better off staying there another year.
Yeah. As we record this, Cristiano Ronaldo is still a Manchester United player. Gav, the Athletic report that he went to see Ralf Rangnick with some teammates last spring and asked for Harry Maguire to be dropped. He also wanted to play in a front two with Edinson Cavani. Some see this as disrespectful, do you?
It's funny because as we read this, of course, you and I had heard this story a few months ago, but obviously we'd heard it on background. I don't have a problem with this. If you're determined to go and call Cristiano prima donna, then yes, this is another sledgehammer you can beat him over the head with. But equally, I also kind of think that I would like to think that you have an open relationship with your boss. And if you are the highest paid player and one of the leaders of the team, and you go there with other teammates, Pogba and Varane were supposedly with him, and Bruno as well, and you want to have a conversation with the manager, I expect the manager's door to be open.
Always, yeah.
Equally, I expect the manager to say, well, Harry Maguire's not here. And if we want to have a conversation, we got with Harry Maguire. I don't know how realistic that is, because what Cristiano's going to say, hey, Harry, you need to be better. You're rubbish. You should be dropped. Maguire's going to say, I'm doing the best I can. But what's he supposed to say? Like, you know.
I don't know how productive.
But I'd like to think that in a football club, like, you know,
this happens a lot. This is not.
Yeah, you have these, you have these conversations.
Yeah.
What was weird about this was, I think The Athletic reported that Pogba and Varane later apologized to Rangnick for kind of being roped into this. That's not very well thought out. You either have the conversation directly, or you at least you discuss it with your posse before you go in to see the manager.
Definitely.
Lens beat Lorient 5-2, and they're also part of the threesome.
Amazing.
At the top of Ligue 1. Some people thought threesomes were passé, but they're still big in France, apparently.
Yeah, they are big.
Jules, they're averaging nearly 3 goals a game. They're ahead of schedule since coming up, what, 2 years ago they came up?
Yeah, that's their third season in a row now. Incredible. Really, I mean, so good to see them. I mean, Lorient, not very good. And it was a very open game. But I've said it before, they're so entertaining. But the best bit maybe of the evening was not so much the win. It's a great win. But it's that after the game, on the pitch, their captain, Seko Fofana, the former Udinese midfielder, who's been doing so well for them. Such a great coup to go and get him for 10 million like they did. Signed his contract extension literally on the pitch. Like they put like a little desk on it, like the one we're doing the show on. Him with the kind of like CEO of the club, if you want, and the sporting director signing with the shirt. All the stadium was still packed, singing Seko Fofana's name. It was amazing. They are such an amazing club with some of the best fans in the world. So well done to them. I just hope that it continues like this.
It's funny with this, because I like this sort of performative stuff. It's a big deal for Lens. You're hanging on to you know, one of your star players, maybe your most important player. You've tried to do something similar last night with Paredes when they played Spezia. It was their unveiling of Paredes. I would have thought they would have unveiled him on the pitch. Instead, he was like, it looked like he was like at a desk by himself with nobody close to him. They turn off the lights. They put the spotlight on him, and he's like waving and going like this. But like, it looked weird. I don't know. Like,
it was so.
They got to work on the choreography.
Yeah, they have to, for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the, we just hit 1 million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Brian Giggs' domestic violence trial has ended with a hung jury. Gab, what does that mean then? What's next?
I think technically it means that the court has, or the judge has decided to discharge the jury because they couldn't reach a verdict. He could undergo another trial. He might not. The prosecution is going to decide whether you know, the elements are there. The trial is not going to happen until some point in 2023 at the earliest, if it does happen. To me, this leaves us with no closure whatsoever because, you know, he has not been cleared.
Yeah.
And so he's going to have this hanging over him. I always think, you know, if you go to trial, you got to come up with some kind of verdict, then you have an appeal.
This
to me helps nobody, doesn't help him, and it doesn't help the victim.
Yeah.
Lucas Ocampos has joined Ajax on loan from Sevilla. Jules, are you surprised they let him go, or did you kind of see it coming?
I saw it coming. I don't think he's been very good in the last 18 months. He's been one of the problems why they haven't scored enough goals, not being creative enough. I'm more surprised, to be honest, Gab, why Ajax went for him to replace Antony. I don't really see it. I don't see him fitting in well in what Alfred Schroeder wants to do and what Ajax are about. I might be wrong.
Wait, Alfred Schroeder's plan doesn't involve having a guy on the wing putting his head down and just running with the ball until he loses it? No? Isn't that what Antony did for Ajax? Sorry, I'm being
unfair. A bit better Antony did it, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. But let's prove us wrong, Lucas, please, because otherwise I don't see it. Sorry. The Times are reporting that the Premier League plan to broadly follow UEFA's new financial fair play rules, Gab, albeit with higher spending limits. Does that make sense to you?
So the new financial fair play rules, they're pretty complicated. They come into effect next year. People have mostly reported on the fact that there's a limit in terms of spending as a percentage of turnover. There are other elements to it. I'm going to write one of those big complicated explainer Q&As that nobody reads to try to explain it for those of us who are sad and interested in this stuff. Broadly speaking, I think this does, however, make sense because the more the rules are the same around Europe, you know, in terms conceptually at least, I think the easier it is for fans to understand it and the easier it is to make sure that they're respected.
Yeah.
What the Premier League are going to do, though, is they're going to have a higher limit. And it's right that they have a higher limit because there's more money. But obviously, when teams play in Europe, they're still going to have to respect the tighter UEFA financial fair play rules. But what that does is it helps teams that are not in Europe spend some money to invest to get there. So I think this is, you know, a reasonable decision by the Premier League. Manuel Akanji has undergone a medical at Manchester City. The deal's just been confirmed as we record. Do you like this move, Jules?
I like this move because it's cheap. It doesn't cost City much. I think he's a talented player.
Is it 17
player,
million?
17 million
Have
euros.
Have a year left on his contract? Like 25 years old?
He's still young. I think he's an elegant, classy player. There's no doubt. I have to say, I was disappointed by his time at Borussia Dortmund. I don't think it's only his fault. It was injuries. I think playing with Mats Hummels or with that version of Hummels is not helping anyone. But I thought he would kick on at Dortmund and he would go to the next level and then get a move like this, but in a very strong position of, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to be a starter in one of the best clubs in the world, which is not the case. Really, right now, I don't know how much he's going to play, but I think he comes as a backup, really, to a Diaz-Laporte or partnership, for example. So we will have to see, but I think for that amount, a bit like the Alvarez deal, it's a really good deal for City.
I told you, nobody believed me. I thought they were a little bit short on numbers, especially at the back, just because with Laporte's injuries, I'm still not on the Stones bandwagon. I'm sorry. Aki might be a backup left back. So I think this makes a lot of sense. And people forget how highly rated he really was at the start of his dormant career, after moving there. But that place is a zoo. How do you judge anything based on the chaos that was going on?
Completely. Super Mario Balotelli has moved to Sion from Adan Demirspor. Gab, he scored 18 goals in Turkey last season. Could he have hoped for something maybe better than like mid-table in Switzerland?
Probably.
He's 32 years old. Let's remind everyone.
He just scored 18 goals last season.
Yeah, you know, he was really good. But I mean, six in one game. Let's remind that.
He still had up to 18. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm happy for him again. I can repeat what I always say. I hope he finds some serenity.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he was on pretty important wages, which is why I think the transfer fee was pretty low. It was like 4 or 5 million, which is, I think, is still a lot of money for Sion, to be fair. Yeah. And he's going to be closer to home. I mean, what more can you say about
exactly.
him? The Pogba family feud rumbles on. Jules, what's the latest?
I had another video from Matthias Pogba, kind of rubbishing what we saw, what we kind of heard from Paul Pogba before, saying that he's trying to send him to jail or to kill him or something like that, crazy. We're still waiting for the revelation to happen. They still haven't happened yet. And we saw Pogba at the Juventus Spezia game with Paredes in the stand being pretty happy. It doesn't look like there was a huge cloud over him or that he was particularly worried about the whole situation. I don't know. I'm waiting for the revelations now. This is really the thing because the investigation is going on, but as we've been saying before, there's not really much into it. There's a few details coming out. Like Pogba said, he used a witchcraft, but to protect him against injuries, which, by the way, he lost his money because he wasted his money because that clearly didn't work. Nothing to do with Mbappe. That he sort of paid off a few of the guy he grew up with, who was kind of holding for ransom, but not as much as the 30 million that they won, but he still paid them 100,000 euros. Those kind of details. But again, we still have to wait for what Matthias Pogba really want to prove and show with the revelation that he mentioned that he would do.
It's also weird because he puts up the video on Saturday, and now it's Thursday, and he says, like, oh, next week you'll find out, blah, blah, blah. And it's Thursday, and I was like, all right, we're still waiting.
I know.
Exactly. Do we know where the other puck, which side Florentin
still
is
not,
on?
Still nothing. So I suspect it would be with Paul. Otherwise, he would have backup Matias, I guess.
They're twin brothers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't look, they're fraternal twins. They don't look the same.
They look the same. They look the same.
Could it be that one Pogba twin is impersonating the other twin with the second, and it's a different Pogba twin?
No. James Garner has joined Everton for £15 million, but there's a buyback clause. Gab, does that make sense to you? It's a good idea from United.
It was reported initially. Now they're saying there is no buyback clause. I'll say this very simply: if there is no buyback clause, this is a stupid move for Manchester United. He's not a, you know, he showed his worth. He's still very young. He showed his worth in for Forest in the Championship last season. I would have thought somebody with that pedigree would be worth more than 50 million. Contract ends in 2024. I don't see why you couldn't work some sort of buyback in there. What happens if this guy turns into the next Paul Scholes and then you have to buy him back for like 60 million? Even if you put a buyback in at 25 or 30 million, everybody's happy, right? It's not like Everton are going to say no, then we won't take him, you know? So it seems an odd one. I hope he does well. I hope he does well. Last season, he showed he can play. Jules, I'm reliably informed that in your playing days, you used to practice free kicks against that wall of mannequins they put out there. I was never allowed to practice free kicks against the mannequins because I might damage them. But we've seen advances in technology. You see this video of Real Madrid, and they're making it seem like it's the greatest technological advancement. They're practicing free kicks against this row of mannequins, and then somebody pushes a button, and the mannequins, I don't know, there's like a spring, they all push up.
Like if they were jumping in the wall.
As if they were jumping?
Yeah.
It's pretty high, high tech.
It is high tech, because it's a bit different, it's new. you know, it comes from France, so suddenly there's a company in France that is doing this.
Oh, so it's got to be good then.
Of course it has. Dimitri Payet, for example, trains pretty much every day with something similar. I don't know. I would want to believe that it's better than just mannequin who don't move. It's better to have people like pretend to jump, I guess.
Or you could have taller mannequins. Or
taller mannequin, I guess so. But let's see during the season how many goals on that direct free kick that Modric and Benzema and Vinicius or all the others, Cruz.
Or maybe just hire Juninho Pernambucano and he teaches you how to do it.
That's very true. That's a good idea. David Beckham has released a video touting the joys of visiting Qatar and how the Doha spice market is his favorite in the world. Gab, predictably, he's getting some stick.
Yeah, I need to update my ranking of
global spice markets. What's your favorite market?
look, it's easy to make fun of this. And I think to some degree it's right. He's getting paid a ton of money to do this.
Yeah.
A lot of people are uncomfortable with this because, you know, David Beckham, for example, you know, 20 years ago when LGBTQ rights weren't such a big issue as they are now, or weren't as generally accepted, when he was a player, you know, he was on the cover of an LGBTQ magazine. Yeah. Well, you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah,
he's been an advocate,
about
for it.
Yeah.
So people are asking questions about this. You know, he's being paid to a ton of money to be kind of a spokesman and so on, but he's not fielding questions about the difficult issues. Personally, I mean, we know a little bit. We both know Dave Beckham a little bit. He's not somebody who's comfortable talking in general, actually. But I think you have to address these if you're going to be a credible ambassador for Qatar. And this is one of the difficulties. If you speak to people in Qatar who are involved with it, they will give you answers. They may not be satisfying answers, and you don't have to agree with them. But so to hire somebody as a spokesperson who's just going to do this, I don't know. Is this credible?
No,
who are you talking to?
I see what you mean. I agree with you.
All right. And that brings us to an end. But Jules, we got to come back on Monday because there's so much this
weekend.
The Milan derby, the derby della Madonnina. My goodness. I can't wait. And of course, Arsenal and United, pretty tasty.
Of course,
And we'll also have... we'll also reflect on the end of the transfer window and deadline day. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.